Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954 with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Glad you could join us this morning. By golly, it's warm and...
Good morning, good morning.
Hello.
Yeah. Who was that?
That was me.
Oh.
Rich.
This is Inside Outdoors, in case you don't know, and this is Buddy Bill speaking. Yeah. And we got our cohort back here. We got him back from Texas.
That'd be Don Jordan. I'm here.
Yep.
Good to see you guys. How you doing this morning? It is 49 degrees here in downtown Bloomington.
49 degrees, yeah. And that was Rich. It was given the weather there. So how was your trip, Bear Don?
Trip
was good.
Trip to Texas was good.
Well, good.
Got to see some birds you wouldn't see around here, including the green jay.
The green jay.
Which is just a knockout looking.
Uh-huh.
Critter. It's lime green and blue and yellow. Worth seeing.
How big are those? Compared to other birds?
Well, they're the size of a jay. They might be a little bit longer tailed.
Okay.
You know, but I'd say they're kind of the size of one of those jays that you see, Stellar Jay, out in the mountains, you know, which are pretty big jays.
Yeah, they are.
But they're in the jay family, and they kind of look like a jay, you know, except for the colors. They're just really spectacular. And we saw several caracaras, which are, they call them Mexican eagles down there, but it's actually a falcon, and it's really a unique-looking bird.
Mm-hmm.
And saw a dark-billed thrasher, which only lives, you know, a lot of thrashers live out there. Only one of those we have here is a brown thrasher. And heard one of those, by the way, last week in town. They're here. And I've been seeing lots of birds. The migration is going.
Yeah, it's in full force.
It is. I haven't seen any warblers yet, but I know there's probably some here already. And... well, I heard Red Wing 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, you telling about that.
That was some time back. So it's happening.
I hope those Red Wings come back, because you know that freeze and stuff in Arkansas and down in there, that one winter just about cleaned them out.
I think they'll be around.
But I used to have a lot of them around the house, and boys, I don't see very many anymore.
Huh. Well,
but around the pond and stuff, they might be a half a dozen at a time you'd see.
Oh yeah, they like nesting in cattails.
I've got them.
You probably see one or two or three.
Yeah, they used to be. Boy, like I said, you see one now, it's a privilege.
Well, the fact is that just about all species of birds are declining. For many reasons, you know, it's like everything else. Too much people,
uh-huh.
Too much pollution, too many things to run into. I mean, the number of birds that are killed by hitting buildings and stuff is just ridiculous.
That, and then those turbines.
The turbines do some damage too.
They're pretty hard on them.
They are, and so are cell towers for that matter.
Yeah.
Anything you stick up in the air
is dangerous to them. Look at them; they fly right into airplanes.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, anyway, I think we're going to have to take a break, ain't we, buddy?
Yes, we are. We have got a couple minutes.
Oh, have we?
And then we'll be back. Well, I mean.
Oh, you're going to take
the break.
Couple
will take
break.
Them. Well, maybe a minute and a half.
Yeah. All okay. Right. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
Listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and me, Rich Reardon. We'll be back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. And hey, you're listening to WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online, wfhb.org. And this is our fun spring fun drive. So if you get the chance, give us a call, and we'd be glad to talk to you. I'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon. Hey, we are back. Hey, I want to mention, you guys, that we are on a second week of our fun drive here at WFHB, and if you appreciate our show, and I know you do because you're listening, please give us a call down here. We got someone to answer the phones, and we'd be glad to take your call. And you know, we still have a goal that we need to get to, and we'd really appreciate your support. If you like Inside Outdoors and what we do every week, we come down here and volunteer our time to talk about the outdoors, natural resources, everything to do with the outdoors, fishing, hunting, whatever's going on. And if you support this show, show us. $5 a month, $10 a month, $12 a month as a sustaining member, and we'd be really appreciative of that. You can also give just a one-time gift. So if you can, give us a call in if you like our show, and we would sincerely appreciate that.
Yeah, we better give him a phone number, hadn't we?
Yeah, 812-323-1200.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And we'll tell you a little later in case you didn't get that written down.
Yeah.
And we'll tell you, but any amount, we'll take any amount. I mean, it all helps keep us on the air. And
Well, I'd like to raise $500 in this hour, so that's the challenge to you guys.
Oh.
Yeah, so let's see what
we can
do.
You got money on your bill.
I never brought much money this morning.
Do we have to pay to get out of here?
Yeah. Well, it's just something that it's here for the community. It's not just our show, but tons of other
things. No, it's for everybody.
Things. Yeah. And so if you can, just help out a little bit, and that'd be really great.
Oh, yes. Yes, we appreciate it all. Last weekend, if you remember, it was cold. It was bad. Was you here last weekend?
I got back on the snow day.
Oh, did you?
Saturday?
Well, mm-hmm. Sunday they had the IU Bass Tournament, a little fishing tournament down on the lake.
Yes.
And it was down at Four Winds, and I went down to it. It was colder than cold. And they were two bass caught out of 18 boats. And one was a 7-pounder.
Wow.
And one was about a 2.5, I think they said.
7 pounds, that's
7 pounds. Oh, it was a nice one. He pulled that little one out of there, out of his bag, and thought, well, man, that's 2.5 pounds. Yeah, that's a nice fish. He fumbled around in his bag again. Here he come out with that 7-pounder.
Wow. Yeah.
Everybody went, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys may remember that weeks before this, I have reported that March is the month that the most big bass, especially 7 pounders plus, are caught at Lake Monroe.
Yeah.
Always has been, and apparently still is.
Well, evidently, because the boy, he had one, and it was a beauty. Of course, IU students, they got the bass club out there, and Steve Lutz is actually the one that started me and him together. Of course, I had the bait shop at that time, and I donated the minna bucket, the old minna bucket is what they go for.
Oh, that's the prize?
Yeah. Mm. And I supported it and still support it as far as that is, but I helped him get it started. And it was the first one, I think, it was the first university that had a bass club. And now there's, I think he said, 700.
Wow. Well, I know it has become real popular
in
the last few years.
Yes, it has. And all good boys, all nice boys. I talked to several of them, and some of them had their parents there, dad, and the fishing with them and stuff. They brought down, and a lot of them from out of town, of course, and they had a good day. It started, I think, at, I don't know what time it did start, 7 o'clock and ended at 2. And
I bet they were cold.
Oh, my gosh. But they were dressed pretty heavy.
I hope so.
Yeah. And, it was a good afternoon. I'm glad it went down. It was
two fish. Boy, that's some slow fishing.
Yes, that is. And most of them didn't even get a bite.
Yeah, yeah.
I talked to several of them that come as they come in, and they didn't even get a bite.
Well, I've had that happen to me.
Oh, I have too.
More times than one.
Have too. So anyway, congratulations to the winner, and I don't remember the names of them now. I should have wrote that down, I guess.
Well, that's kind of the way it goes, where you're not getting anything all morning, and then all of a sudden, wham! There's one of those bass. So
I don't know where they caught them of a morning or noon or afternoon I don't remember them saying.
I would think morning would be the best.
Well,
best
it starts
time
snowing
for
in the afternoon that day.
Yeah,
it wasn't pretty.
No, it was disgusting. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Hey, Lake Monroe is 550.1 feet right now.
550?
550.1.
I didn't realize that was that high Sunday when I was down there. It was high, but
556 is the
spillway.
Overflow.
So it's pretty full down there.
They're 6 feet from going over.
Huh, I didn't realize it was that high. 538 is normal if you know what we're talking about here. And 550 is what it is right now, so you're talking 12 feet above normal.
Well, and Patoka is 544, and their flow over is at 548, so they're only 4 feet from going over.
Mm-hmm.
So water's high at all of these reservoirs. You want to keep that in mind.
Yeah. Well I was talking to some of those folks down at the IU tournament there, and I was trying to explain to them. Of course, a lot of them didn't know where, Strange on the lake and stuff, and I was trying to explain to them where to go in high water and where to go in low water and stuff like that. I said, the next time you come down, well, try them and see, and there's, where tournaments has been won in the past.
Uh-huh.
You keep that in your mind.
You say you got those spots in your mind, Bill?
Uh-huh.
Well, hear that, everybody? You want to know where how to win a bass tournament, go see Buddy Bill.
Right now is a good time.
Yeah?
Right now is a good time. The water's high, and you got to know where to go.
Well, wouldn't you fish those buck brush and whatnot in that little shallower water this time, with the sun out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go up to the shallower water.
I would, too.
It'll be high, but it'll be shallow.
Right. Yeah, it'll be high up in the brush.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's hard to fish in that stuff, but You know,
that's where it pays off.
That's where they are. Crappies are in there too, you know, in that same habitat. So,
but now them two fish that was caught there Sunday were caught in the lower part.
Were they?
Back up in the brush in the lower part, but he never did say what lower part, you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, the lower end of the reservoir is usually more clear.
Lower end is where it was.
So clear water may have something to do with it. Boy, that water that high, that pretty much changes the game forever.
Oh, it does. It like I say, you know, you got to, if you're a stranger coming in, if you find fish, you're lucky, you know, you've lucked into it.
Right.
Like I say, we've been around, you and I have been around the lake all of our life and ever since it was built. And we hear a lot of different people talking about this, that, and the other. And we keep an eye, you know, we have a pretty good eye of where to go and where not to go. Of course, we don't do any good either.
Well, I tell you, sometimes it can be a desert down there.
Oh, it can. Yeah.
It can be hard fishing. Other times you can really clean up.
Mm-hmm.
You can probably really clean up on those little crappies, depending on how much you like to clean fish.
Yeah. Yeah, right now you could
catch a lot of those.
We'll catch a lot of them, and right now they're good because they're cold, and the meat is solid, and it's got a good flavor to it, and good eating.
Well, I've seen a lot of pictures of nice crappies being caught around the state in the last few days last 2 weeks actually on Facebook, and you know, they're bringing them in. They're still full of spawn. They haven't spawned, at least some.
Oh, no, they wouldn't be. I don't think spawning yet.
They usually are pretty early. And I saw some pictures of walleyes yesterday that were obviously full of spawn that had been taken out of Lake Erie.
Oh, uh-huh.
Lake Erie's big, nice big walleyes. So it's on. I wouldn't give up on Lake Monroe on walleyes either if you got a Hinklin, you know.
I was getting ready to ask you. I haven't heard of anyone catching.
Last year and the year before were a little slow, but I heard last year that several guys were catching walleyes. Of course, they haven't stocked them in there on a regular basis.
Oh no, they
for a while, and we just get a few leftovers from other hatcheries that had some extras from stocking lakes up north, which is what usually gets them.
Yeah.
Or Brookville.
There's several go to Brookville.
And we got, you know, this is the month that put and take trout takes place.
Mm-hmm. April, yeah.
State puts the trout in and you take them out.
Have you got a list of where they are around here?
We don't have, but... Well, we got some in Spring Mill, the lake down there now. And other than that, around here, no.
They don't put them in Yellowwood anymore?
No Yellowwood. They may still use them, put them in Airline Pit.
They still do that?
Still do that. But that's the only two that I know of. Most of them go to northern Indiana or to park lakes in city parks nowadays.
Hey guys, time to go.
Got
be right back.
Got to take a little break, so we'll be right back.
Yes, sir. And hey, I do want to tell you guys out there that this is WFHB's Fun Drive. So if you can, give us a call. It's 812-323-1200. So if you can, let them know that you like our show. And we come down here every week and try to give you all kinds of insight and news about the outdoors. So if you appreciate us, give us a call. It's again 812-323-1200. I know that you love our show. We've got a goal that we're trying to reach and to keep everything working and happening. So we appreciate it. You're listening to Inside Outdoors, and it is right now 49 degrees in downtown Bloomington. And it looks like it's going to warm up a little bit this week. It's going to look kind of good. We're going to get up into the 70s almost all week long. So a couple of chances of T-storms, but that's about it. So anyway, we are listening to Inside Outdoors right now. This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, and we are volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, and also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And remember, that's a place you can go if you want to just give a secure payment. You can go right online and do it there, or also give us a call down here. We got someone waiting on the phone out there, so give us a call. And we're coming right back with Inside Outdoors. And we're back. Hello, guys.
Already.
Well, yeah. That was fast.
That was
well,
quick.
I was talking about our spring fun drive here.
And, okay, I got a question.
Yeah.
The number here, of course, is 323-1200.
Correct.
And if you wanted to call in and talk to us, will you use that same number?
Yeah.
Last week it was a little different.
Yeah, well, I got a number for us to call in on that frees up that line, but don't worry about it. We got a catcher out there that will answer the phone and deal with it. If you want to get on the air, you'll get on the air that way too. No problem.
Yeah, give us a call.
Yeah,
got something on your mind? Want to know something? How big the mushrooms are? Or how many we've found so far? I'll keep that a secret till the end. How many I've found?
Okay, well that's a good thing.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
I have a real quick comment about the birds you were talking about before. Am I interrupting?
No.
Okay. I watched a really good program on public radio or sorry TV public TV. And it had a lot to do with the forests, and they were talking about at one point this beetle that gets out there and gets into the bark of the tree, and what it does is it's very pretty fascinating. But they the trees will the beetle goes into the tree, they start to attack the places where the tree gets nutrients. So in other words, the arteries that bring the water up from the ground is where they kind of naturally eat up that area, and that kills the tree. And but the tree gives off a signal to the other trees, and which I thought was pretty fascinating. And I don't know how the heck they figured this out, but they all start putting out a lot more sap than normal, and that which tends to help keep them keep them from burrowing into the tree. And so while all this drama is going on, the birds and the woodpeckers they're excited about the beetles being in the tree, especially if they've killed the tree off, because then they're gonna go in there and start eating and having a feast. And it was interesting because they said how the plight of the beetle really affected the amount of these woodpeckers that were in the forest. Like in years where the beetles were not making it into the trees as well, the population would go down. And then the population would go up and skyrocket with the birds, given the fact that they were, getting a lot of these beetles. So there's other factors, too, that do affect the birds, like how many you're going to see and that sort of thing. And so sometimes when we say, oh, it's just man that's messing with it, yeah, it is sometimes habitat, but also it's it's so many other factors that man can kind of affect in that. That will end up making the flock be bigger or smaller, So there you go. I thought it was pretty fascinating.
That okay. was a great story.
Yeah.
Way to go.
He's a storyteller.
Well, they talk about how the different animals, like remember we talked about the wolves going back into Yellowstone, which ended up changing the face of the amount of trees, the cottonwood trees that were there and things. And you wouldn't think that wolves coming back would affect the trees, but it's how many elk are eating the high branches and things like that. I mean, we've talked about it before.
Oh,
it's fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. You see a story like that, and they've got some pretty good stories on that public TV.
Mm-hmm.
You got to kind of watch and keep track of them, but they've got some very interesting stories, and they're they pretty well detail it out what they do. And of course, like you say, the birds and the woodpeckers, they like them beetles. I mean, shoot, they'll just get on them. Now, of course, I've had I had to cut them a couple of shade trees or ash trees there in the front yard, but I never seen a humiliating woodpecker.
Oh, yeah?
I never saw one around them. Now, other woodpeckers, red-headed woodpecker and all them, they come in and visited with us, but no humiliating woodpecker.
You haven't seen a humiliating woodpecker this year, or is this,
no.
How long has it been?
Well, last year.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about last year's.
Well, I have to translate for y'all that Bill's humiliating woodpecker is a pileated woodpecker, which is the largest woodpecker we have around here.
Oh, yeah. They're beautiful.
And actually, you know, you hear them often and see them more often than you used to,
mm-hmm.
Seems to me.
Well, they're getting more popular, yeah.
And they are pretty spectacular. And you know, they can chisel a tree out from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take them too long. When they get busy, those chips just fly.
And if you got wood sills in your windows in your house,
yeah, they'll get those too.
They'll clean them up. And I know a neighbor down there, he thought there's somebody at the door, and it was one of them humiliating woodpeckers, mm-hmm. knocking on his door. And he said it sounded just like someone. Well, I've seen them around the house there, and like I said, over the past years, and you talk about a noise. Now, it sounds like a bunch of carpenters building a house.
They hit the tree pretty hard with that beak they've got, and they have a pretty substantial beak.
Uh-huh. You know,
could peck you pretty hard.
I don't want him pecking on me.
I'm
not a tree.
You know those smaller woodpeckers we have, like a jillion of them around, the downy woodpecker.
Yeah, we got all kinds.
Now, those little downy woodpeckers, they love to get on a house. And they even love to get on our vinyl-sided house. But they never make any progress, but they sure let you know they're there.
Uh-huh.
It's quack, quack, quack. And you wouldn't think that such a small bird could make so much noise, you know, but boy, they do. So
yes, they do.
You start hearing noises, the funny noises, like somebody beating on your house, go check for woodpeckers.
Uh-huh.
Check for woodpeckers.
Because chances are that's what it is.
That's right. I know my wife had in her old house, had one actually drill a hole through the top of her attic area and started nesting in there as if it were a tree.
I'll be darned.
So
I believe that.
It happens.
Oh, yes, yes.
And that also leaves a hole for the squirrels to come in.
Uh-huh.
You haven't lived until you've had squirrels in your attic.
And then coons will find that hole,
yeah.
Make it a little bigger, and he'll come in, and he'll make himself at home.
Yeah, and they're even more fun.
Next
yeah.
thing you know, you've got a big party going on up there.
You've got a party, yes. Yes, by all means.
Well, speaking of parties, I hate to ruin everybody's day, but we do have a couple of deaths here to announce today.
Yeah, it's very sad.
This is up in Warrick County. Do you know where Warrick County?
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
north.
It's near Newburgh, it says, in the Bluegrass Pit. It'd be at the Bluegrass Fish and Wildlife Area. Joshua Varner and Vivian Varner. She's age 4, he's age 33, of Newburgh, were kayaking Thursday evening, that's last Thursday. A family member became concerned when they did not return. So they called out the emergencies, and at around 9:45, both were found floating in the water. The man, the father, was pronounced deceased at the scene. The little 4-year-old girl was taken to Deaconess Hospital in Evansville, I guess this is in southern Indiana, where the victims were found, where she succumbed to her injuries. The kayak belonged to the victims. It was found capsized in water 500 yards away, and it was about 10 feet where they were found. And they didn't have life jackets on, either one of them.
Isn't that awful?
Had life jackets on. And it's just another example where, what are you doing out there in a kayak with a 4-year-old with no life jacket on?
Yeah. Good question.
Well, he's paid the price, and so has his daughter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say.
Two of them, that's... And, you know, most of it was completely uncalled for. I mean, you know, you don't get out in a boat on water without a life jacket, number one.
And this was a two-seat kayak, and they were both in the boat. You know, it's not that easy to turn those boats over. I mean, you have to really be working at it. You know, you have to try. So you got to wonder what the heck was going on there. I wonder.
Well, you know, did they hit something? Did a wave catch them? I don't know. You know, just don't know.
That's right. It's impossible to tell. That's right. So remember water safety when you go out on the water. I bet this next week is going to be in the 70s, so I assume a lot of people are going to be going out on the water.
Well, a lot of fishing is going to go.
I'd say a lot of fishermen will be out there and. You know, you just got to take that extra care. And I understand not wanting to wear a life jacket, but...
They are. On warm weather, they are hot.
They're hot and but, uncomfortable, but boy.
Would you rather be a little hot and breathing and a little cold and not breathing?
Well...
I mean, you know.
They said the water temperature was 55 degrees at that where these two people drowned. So if they were there at 9:45 p.m. in the evening, they'd probably been in the water long enough to die of hypothermia. So there really wasn't a cause of death reported in this story. But in any case.
Lake Monroe, I don't know what it's given now, but was 42 last Sunday.
Oh, well, I believe it's around 60 now. 17 degrees centigrade. What is 17 degrees centigrade?
Anybody I have know? No idea.
Okay.
I don't.
Well, that's around 60, I think.
you think? Have you heard anything on our mountain lion over in Brown County?
Just got a story here, actually. This is from the Vincennes Sun commercial, and somebody over there took the initiative and indicated and interviewed the state mammalogist.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the guy in charge of mammals. Right. So here's what the DNR state mammalogist has to say about it. Animal tracks in the mud after recent rain caused people hiking in Brown County's Laura Hare Nature Preserve at Downey Hill, wherever that is, to stop and take notice. The prints were big, and there had been a recent news report of a Nashville area family's pet cat being killed. Remember, that's the one we talked about on here, was the one that killed the Siamese cat.
Yeah, right.
So the paw print was identified as a dog's by state mammalogist Brad Westridge. Paying attention to tracks and possible wildlife is important when hiking, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, you may not know what to look for if you haven't ever seen a big cat's print before. He says, "We do receive mountain lion reports. Most have come to us without any evidence, and they weren't in the area of the recent attack." That'd be the Nashville one. Westrich, the mammalogist, said the incident on March 11 involving this cat, is still under investigation. No clear tracks of a mountain lion were found in the area by conservation officers who reached the scene after the incident was over. Although, here's the interesting part. Although the mountain lion's current range is listed as being in the western United States and they're extinct, mm-hmm. Eastern mountain lions extinct, mountain lions have wandered into the Midwest. That's what I said last week, too.
Right.
With one being confirmed as having traveled through Greene County in 2010. Remember that one?
Well, the DNR got pictures, I think, of that one.
Yeah, I think they did.
So that's not, they can't deny that one.
No, they can't. And they got another one they can't deny. A male mountain lion from South Dakota traveled throughout the Midwest and all the way to Connecticut, where it was finally killed by a car.
Oh, my.
So they will travel a long way.
Evidently, yeah.
They will travel a long way. And you see one that's, you know, like this one that killed the cat over in Nashville.
Uh-huh.
And they said that it was waist high. Now, you see a mountain lion that's waist high, you know that didn't come from east of the Mississippi, because we don't have any mountain lions at all, and the ones we do have are those Florida panthers, and they're not, they're knee high, you know, they're not even close to
waist high. That's bear height.
That's a pretty big cat. That's a pretty big cat. So that cat came from out west, in my opinion.
It
hiked a long way, looking for a mate, I suppose, and food. You know, they have to have a lot of food. But they are incredible survivors. And anyway.
Maybe that fellow from Brown County will call in and give us a little story on it. I'd like to hear.
Yeah, that'd be good. That's 8-1, what is it, 8-1-2?
Yeah, 8-1-2-3-2-3-1200.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, well, I'd like to hear a little more about that.
Yeah, I'd like to see, know what exactly what he's seen. And
I would too. He also said that any mountain lions found in Indiana and other Midwestern states are probably young males known for traveling long distances. The cats will range far from home and then loop back to areas where other mountain lions can be found. The males are looking for available habitat, and they will have less competition from other male cats, places where they won't have so much competition. It's not impossible for another mountain lion to make it over to Indiana again. Well, apparently it's not.
Apparently it did.
Yeah, it did. So we still have the black bear in the state, the guy says. And it ought to be coming out of hibernation down at the Big Oaks National Wildlife Refuge. So please leave the bear alone and let him be. And did you see the disgusting picture on Facebook of these two guys killing the mama bear in its den with its cubs in there?
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
I'm telling you, you know, it makes you wonder what humans' use is on the planet. What a low-down thing to do. And it's been made legal. It's made legal this past last year by...
Hey, I hate to interrupt.
Administration.
We're just about to go out, so we'll be right back and pick it up from there.
Okay. We'll wait.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
You're listening to WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And hey, it is now 49 degrees in downtown Bloomington. It looks like it could be about the 70s this week, and I'm hurrying to tell you because we are having our spring fun drive. And 812-323-1200. Give us a call if you want to help support this beautiful WFHB, which is community radio right here in downtown Bloomington. We are self-powered, so we need your help. Give us a call down here, 812-323-1200, if you appreciate Inside Outdoors, and we'll be right back.
It ain't a bunch of beans like they serve in the Navy. It's bacon and eggs, biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. Whole pot of coffee down to the dregs. When I get out of bed, my belly begs for biscuits and gravy.
That song.
We're back
already. Yeah,
biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs.
Yeah, boy, that sounds pretty good. Have you had breakfast yet?
No,
I haven't either.
I'm growling. I haven't even got a cup of coffee yet.
I did have a half a cup of coffee.
Man, if I'd had some left over from last night, I'd have had some. But I didn't.
Well, mercy.
Yes, sir. Well, we're finally getting here. Springtime's coming, you know. I mean, it's here officially, but it's starting to act like spring outside.
Yeah.
And we got hyacinths up. And all kinds of flowers popping up, daffodils everywhere.
The trees are budding out and leaving out.
Yes, they are. I got little red buds coming out on my red bud trees.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be followed by the dogwoods. You know, it's always red buds first, dogwoods next.
Yeah.
So, dogwood season, we got the Orleans Dogwood Festival. They got lots of pink dogwoods planted up and down the street down there in Orleans. So if you go down there during dogwood time, you'll probably see some nice dogwoods, etc. And the state parks are beginning to open up, and they're having various events going on. It's time to get outdoors.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. They've already opened up the gate at Fairfax.
Have they?
They get in, yeah.
Well.
They've already done that.
How was Fairfax when you were down there yesterday?
Pretty nice.
Yeah?
It was pretty nice. I went into Four Winds there looking for my buddy, Steve Lutz, and found him in there, and they've improved it considerably.
Have they?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's good. It needed some improvements.
Yes, it needed a lot of it.
So that's good.
So anyway, they've improved it and had it looking pretty nice.
Well, I tell you what, a lot of old boys are going to be doing this morning.
How's that?
They're going to be out looking for mushrooms.
Oh yeah, it's this warm weather.
Oh man, the warm weather and that rain.
And then we've had the showers of rain. Yes.
And it's been it was 49 last night. It was actually 51 at my house, but.
Yep.
Those 50-degree temperatures are key to mushrooms coming up. Got to have those overnight warm temperatures and a little rain. And I mean, they'll be up. And I haven't heard of anybody finding any black morels yet this year, but this is the time you should be finding those. Even before.
Yeah.
So they're out there. And if you're serious about finding mushrooms, you got to get out there early. And you got to get out there every day until you see them, if you really want to find them, because somebody else will be there looking in your spot.
You got to camp there.
That's just about right. You got to be there every morning. And
those houses is taking up so much area of the natural grounds that we find stuff on. There's a house now.
Yep,
that's right.
You can't go deer hunting. There's a house there.
Yeah,
I mean it's changed and it's run the habitat, wildlife and stuff all out.
Well, an example of the kind of thing that's going on. We hunted my buddy Tony Abril over in Worthington, and I hunted quail over in Greene County for 20 or 30 years, and one of the guy's places we hunted had a son. Well, that son grew up, got married, and wanted to build a house. So Dad gave him a piece of land on our quail hunting ground.
Yeah.
And it's not that the quail are gone or, you know, are dead or not around anymore. It's just that we can't hunt them anymore because we got a house there. Mm-hmm. You don't want to hunt behind somebody's house.
Oh no,
I don't. You know, you don't really need to do that. Well, maybe you do nowadays. I don't know, but anyway, quail hunting.
We're not going to anyway.
That's right. And quail hunting's pretty much over in Indiana, except for these put and take places. You know, and they still got a bag limit of 8 birds, which is ridiculous. Well, this is a bird that hardly exists. It's almost extinct in Indiana. But they still got an 8 bird bag limit to keep these commercial bird hunting, quail hunting operations going. Because if you pay X amount of dollars to go in and shoot tame birds, you don't want to just shoot 3 or 5, or you want to get as many as you can. So the state goes right along with them and gives them 8. Of course, that also counts for the wild birds. If you can find wild birds, if there was a wild bird covey of 8 birds, you could legally go out and kill every one of them, wipe that covey out. So this is a poor, poor example of management by the DNR.
It used to be 5, didn't it?
It's still 5 north of Highway 40.
Okay.
But it's 8 down here.
And ain't a quail down here.
Well,
there's a few here and there, but
I haven't heard one in a long time.
Boy, I haven't either. Yeah. I had a pair there at the house and stayed around for a while, but they've disappeared. Where something caught them or
no telling.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened to them, but I haven't heard them. Well, I didn't hear them last year, and I haven't heard them this year either.
No, and we first moved out to our place, and we had one or two quails that you'd hear every year. You know, about this time of year, you'd hear them out there calling. But I haven't heard that bird for now 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's another one of those things that's happening.
Yep. But, you know, it's amazing back when we was kids, me and you both.
Yes.
And I know you can remember. Of course, we had the farm down there, and it wasn't nothing to go out, just walk out in the field and
there'd be a
covey of quail, and maybe I have been back in there and found little ones that just hatched and stuff like that, you know. And now you can walk, and you won't see one.
Never see one.
But it's amazing because we always had a nice covey of quail around there, always.
Just about every 40-acre farm mm-hmm. in Indiana had.
Of course, there wasn't no houses around, and fence rows were around, and they were a lot of quail.
Well, there were. There
were. Once in a while, you'd see a pheasant, but he didn't stay long.
No, pheasants, they turned a few loose now and then.
The ground just wasn't suitable for
them. Doesn't have what they need.
No.
Doesn't have what they need.
And they say, and I've heard, I don't know, that around here, the dirt and mud sticks to their feet.
Hmm.
And that's the reason that they don't stay around here. Now, I don't know whether that's true or false. I've always heard that, though.
No, I had not heard that.
I've heard that from several people, that that's the reason that you can't raise. Well, even back when we was talking, when the quail and stuff was back there, that's what they was saying.
Well, could be.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm just repeating what I've heard because I don't know that to be a fact. But I can understand now. I noticed a chicken come out of the chicken house the other day, and we've been letting them out in the chicken lot, and had a big ball on the bottom of her foot of dirt and mud and manure and what have you. And I can see why pheasants wouldn't stick around. You know, they get killed or die from...
Can't run with a ball of dirt on your foot.
No, she was trying to move along pretty fast, but she wasn't shaking her leg and going on. So, you know, it's possible.
Sure.
That's a true story. And now, like I said, I'm just repeating what I heard, but...
What you hear sometimes can be right.
Yeah. Now, it's down south or up north... It's a lot of sand and.
But their weather and habitat up north in northern Indiana is really bad.
Oh yeah, it is anymore.
They pretty much disappeared up there. You know, the pheasants are slowly disappearing, mm-hmm. despite all kinds of habitat work up north. And the other one is the ruffed grouse, and they've been talking about making it. Endangered species in Indiana because, you know, when was the last time you saw a ruffed grouse?
Gosh, I don't know when.
Well, I know when I did, and it was 20 years ago.
I'd say it's been at least that long since I seen one. It's been at least that long.
Yeah, me and another hunting buddy were over at Clay City hunting around some of those old strip pit lands, and there was one waiting at the bottom of a tree. That's the last one I've seen.
Well, I'll be darned.
We didn't kill it, thank goodness. I don't believe I'd be killing any ruffed grouse for the rest of my life. That's okay. I can live without it.
Yeah, I can too.
I'd rather see a live one. Than kill one.
Yes, I would too, because they're something to watch.
They're interesting.
Out in Wyoming, they're They've got them silly, crazy.
Sage grouse?
Yeah, sage grouse that they stand around and watch you and look at you.
Yeah, prairie chickens.
They're fun. I just sat out when I'm deer hunting. I just sat there and watch them. Of course, I wouldn't kill one of them.
I saw a ruffed grouse out in Montana a couple of years ago walking right by my house. So, I know there are still some around there.
Oh, yeah, there.
And there's so many of them in Ontario, and this is true. You can walk down a trail through the woods, say an old logging road, and you can come across flocks of 15, 20 grouse walking along like a bunch of chickens.
Oh, I'll be darned.
So the natives up there, the Ojibwe people, they take a big long pole with a little limber in it, about 10 feet long, and when they come across those flocks of grouse walking through the woods, they just whack one with that 10-foot-long pole. They're so tame, they don't fly away.
I'll be darned.
So you just whack one with a pole and go pick him up, But we don't do that around here.
No.
I don't even know whether it's legal in Ontario, but they do it anyway. I don't see why it wouldn't be illegal. I mean, that's got to be harder than shooting one.
Well, it looks like it would be.
Even a bird that's tame as can be would try to get out of the way of a pole swinging down on their head. Anyway, that's kind of an interesting facet of grouse.
That would be.
Grouse life.
And to be that many grouse up in there.
Oh, they're just thick. Thick. Yeah. They were that way in northern Wisconsin, too. There's lots of grouse. You could go out hunting and say you can get your limit every day if you wanted to.
What is the limit on grouse? Two?
Well, in Wisconsin, I think it's more than that. I think it's six or...
Oh, is it?
It may be even more than that. But anyway, there are plenty of them up there. I hope that they stay there and don't come back down here.
Yeah, there ain't nowhere to go down here.
No, there isn't. Well, what else we got? Spring activities. We got lots of hiking possibilities, don't we?
Well, yeah, we can do that. We got a lot of that.
We got lots of hiking. We got lots of fishing. At least if you're going to fish.
The big thing right now is your mushrooms.
Morels.
You'll be out whenever you're out hiking, kind of keep an eye out under the dead trees and stuff, and watch yourself under dead trees because there's a lot of them out there now due to the fact of the ash borer and weather and that drought back in, 2012?
Yeah.
It's still affecting them, and so you want to kind of watch when you're out hiking and walking around in the woods. There is a lot of dead trees.
And, speaking of walking around looking for mushrooms, it seems to me like you got to walk a long ways these days. It used to be I could go outside my house down in Whitehall and find mushrooms right there on the ridge, but that stopped a long time ago. If you go out in the woods, like, say, Yellowwood in particular, where they've been cutting so many trees, you got to walk a long ways to find mushroom habitat, a long way. And what's going on in there?
No. He's going wild.
Going wild.
Uh-huh.
Taking a picture of you guys.
Yeah. Oh, boy, you better check your camera.
Yeah.
Let's make sure it's still working.
That dude's blowed all to pieces.
We ruined it, I'm sure. We ruined it. Okay, well, any case, we got things to look forward to right now. We got fishing, morel hunting, hiking.
Turkey season will be, turkey season, too.
Turkey season's coming up.
Yes, I'd forgot about that.
Those reserve hunts, I think, have already been parceled out.
I don't know, was it come in here the 23rd or something like that?
Something like that, end of April.
And Missouri is about 3 days ahead of that, ahead of ours, I think.
And they got lots of turkeys.
They got a lot of turkeys down there.
We do, too. I was just talking to a guy the other day about, how aggressive turkeys are this time of year. And I was driving down the road to my house going slow because I saw these two wild turkeys alongside the road. So I slowed down real slow, rolled the window down, and said something to them, and they charged my truck. They got an attitude.
Yeah, it was a...
They were females as far as I could tell.
Hens.
Hens, and they came at me with their mouth open and their head down, just like charging at me, you know.
I'll be darned.
I hopped back in the truck and got out of there.
I would have too, yeah.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Another week's gone by.
It has.
Yeah, we only got a couple seconds left.
Well, we're not done yet.
Well, I guess we'll have to just pick it up next week,
though. Okay.
All right.
Well, folks, we hope you enjoyed the show, and don't forget the little donation fund drive here.
Or big donation.
Or big donation. We'll accept anything, so don't forget that, and we'll see you next week.
All right.
That's all
bye-bye.
We have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning. And so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.